Jeremiah 27. Jeremiah is being called by God to prophesy to the people of the southern kingdom of Judah. At this point in time, God is getting ready to judge his people because of their sin. Now, it doesn't mean that all of Judah was wicked. Okay, it's just like tonight here. It doesn't mean that everybody here, you know, is not right with God. But there's always a remnant among the people of God. There are always those people that truly want to serve God and want to be obedient to God. The majority of the people of God, the majority of Judah here, had rebelled against God. They had taken the Sabbaths, the years that God had told them to work the land for 6 years. And then on the seventh year, they were supposed to kind of take a whole year off and just rest. And they could live off all of the things that were left over in the land for a whole year. But they didn't listen to God. They continued to work the land. So for each year that they took from God's Sabbaths, God says you're going to spend each year in captivity. You're going to have to pay me back. And then not only that, but they also had given themselves to idolatry, to the worship of idols. Idols, they had taken possession of their hearts. Listen to what Ezekiel says about these idols. Just stick right where you're at and let me just read for a second here. He says, "Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and have put before them that which causes them to stumble and to commit sin. Should I, God, let myself be inquired at all by them?" God says, my people have given themselves to idolatry. No longer do I lead. No longer do I govern. No longer am I the center of attraction. But something else now has taken my place. And then you go back to the New Testament and you go back to the book of Revelations chapter 2. And God here speaking to the messenger or the pastor of the church. John says to that pastor, hey look, even though you have great patience and you have great works and you have long suffering and gentleness and you have all these things, yet God has something against you. And that is that you have left your first love. Repent and do your first works all over again. God desires that he will be first in my life. Not second, not third. He wants to rule. He wants to govern. He wants to reign. He wants to lead me. He wants to guide. He wants to provide for me. And this is why God was speaking to his people, because his people were not listening. You know how we don't listen sometimes? They were not listening to God's instructions. And because they would not hear, because they would not pay attention, God began to use an evil and wicked nation by the name of Babylon and an evil king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was going to use him to come against God's people and chasten them. Now, the question comes up, what do you mean God uses evil people against his people? Yes, because God is sovereign. The devil works for Jesus Christ. All of the demons work for God too. You see, God wasn't created. Satan is a created being. They're not equals. God has been from all eternity. God is creator of all things. And God never was created. He has always existed. He's the Almighty El Shaddai. And one of the things about Satan is that Satan, when he fell from his throne and he was cast out of heaven, then Satan became evil. And what he did is he came to deceive the nations of the world. But at the same time, remember, God has a chain to Satan, which means God controls Satan. Satan has to come to God and Satan has to ask for permission before he does anything in this world. He's employed by Satan. You see, Satan is employed by God.
and Satan has to obey. Then you say, well, why doesn't God just wipe him out? Oh, his time is coming, don't worry. His time is running out. That's why there are so many people that are getting wiped out today. I have never seen so much deception, so much rebellion in the world today, especially among the youth and among parents. Think about the days that we're living in, days of darkness. Days where there's no hope, but yet our hope is in Jesus Christ. And these were the days of Judah. Their days were up. God was going to judge, and God would use Babylon, and Babylon would come and destroy the people. They would make 3 sieges against Jerusalem. And at this point in time, too, you have to think one thing, too. You have to put in here, Daniel already is in Babylon. So if you want to read the book of Daniel, read chapter 1, 2, and 3, and 4, because chapter 4 fits perfectly here in chapter 27 of Jeremiah. Where God is speaking to Daniel. Daniel is a young man, and Daniel has purpose in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's table. And you say, well, Jeremiah was a young man, yes, but also Daniel was a young man. Daniel was only 13 years of age when he was taken captive to Babylon. 13 years of age. Some of you here are 14 and 15 years of age. And yet, when he got to Babylon, when he stood before the king's servant said, this is what you're going to do. And Daniel said, no, this is not what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Because we're not going to bow our knees to the gods of what? Of Babylon. He made a stand. And because he made a stand, his friends also made a stand. Why? Because Daniel became a man of great influence. He was a leader. Man, how we need today young people like Daniel to make a stand. Not only to make a stand for self, but that others may follow, because people are destroying their lives. The people of God here were destroying their lives. Maybe they didn't have drugs like we have today, but these people were destroying their lives by worshiping other gods. They were taking their little babies, and they were taking them down to the valley of Hinnom. Actually, it was a city dump. And in the city dump, they had actually built these images, these iron images, which was called Molech. And the image looked like a man, but also he had his arms stretched out this way, and it was all made out of metal. And then they would take it, and they would put it into the fire, and they would build this great fire, and this great image would become red hot. And then the mothers of Israel would come down with their little babies, and they would put the babies on the arms of Molech, and they would consume them in the fire. Think of the 25 million babies that we have given to Molech today, as we've destroyed them. Think of all the babies that have been killed to Molech and have been sacrificed to the god of Molech, because people want to play, but they don't want to pay. Think about that. Think of how many young girls are miserable because they were used by men. And the heartache and the scars that these young girls have to bear for the rest of their lives, knowing that they murdered a baby. It's murder. Yes, God forgives murderers. But even though sometimes God forgives us for murder, yet we bear the marks of those things that we have committed for the rest of our lives. You sow, you reap. That's the reason that I try to tell young people, man, because I've had experience. It's not that I want to be an old fogey daddy, but I try to tell these young kids, because I know what drugs will do. I know what alcohol will do. I'll know what cigarettes will do. I know what cigars will do, because we all did it. I can sit in this congregation. I can point to people that I've talked to. Young men, one young man that was on crack, and he burned his lungs because as he was smoking crack, he wasn't really smoking the crack. He was actually smoking the glass. And he burned his lungs. Think of all the kids today that take acid tablets. And they're burning their brains. All for fun. Because the enemy tells you it's going to be fun. But he doesn't tell you that his whole purpose is to destroy you and to put you under the grave or to put you in an asylum. All flipped out because of drugs. And I've seen young people tied up, man, because they go crazy because of the strength that they have. Because, man, they took a bad trip and they never came out of that bad trip. And I can take you down here to Skid Row. I can take you to any place around here. And I can show you, man, young men that started drinking when they were young. And today they find themselves, they can't stop. They're alcoholics. And they have the symptoms of the red nose and the red cheeks. And their liver's being eaten away because Satan said, oh, it won't hurt you. He's a liar. It will kill you. He's smart. He's no dummy. He knows everything that he can do to you and he can do to me if we're not protected by the cross of Jesus Christ. The people of God thought, oh, nothing will happen. It did happen. And here the prophet Jeremiah is coming and he's saying this, serve Babylon or die. You either submit or you're going to die. And God says to those people that were in there, those that were righteous, those that had served God, look, you guys go to Babylon. I will protect you. I will watch over you. And when all this is over with, 70 years after this, I'll bring you back to this land. I'll do it. Why? Because even though they were going into captivity, still God wanted submission and obedience to the will of God. God desires that of my life. Okay, so you've blown it. Now repent. Now that you've blown it and now you repent, get on with business. Yes, you're going to reap. But know one thing. Even though you're going to reap, God will give you back the years that the cankerworm has eaten. That's what the Bible says. God will give you back the years that Satan has stolen from you. If you repent. If you really give your life back to God. God will use you again. You say, but well, I'm too far gone. No, you're not too far gone. Nobody's too far gone ever. Because God is a God of mercy. God is a God of love. God is a God that forgives people. Especially those that really want to repent. But I don't think God will ever use me. I guarantee you he'll use you again if you come to him. I guarantee you, I don't care what you've done, God will use you again. That's the kind of God that we serve. The only reason that he wouldn't use you is because you wouldn't repent, because you will continue to be disobedient. And if you continue to be disobedient, then God has ways of stopping you because he loves you as a father. He will chastise you. He will spank you to stop you. And even if he has to kill you, he'll stop you. That's what the scripture says. That's how much God loves you. Because he doesn't want you to go to hell. He'll do anything in his power to stop you, just like he's doing here to Babylon, using Babylon against Judah. Because some of the people don't want to go. Some of the people will be killed. So others will be taken in chains to Babylon. Those that would submit to the king of Babylon will go to Babylon and God will be with them. But those that will not submit, they'll have to pay the penalty. So God sends Jeremiah to speak to the people. And again, the people don't want to hear. Look what he says in verse 1 of chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. Now, first of all, in chapter 27, verse 1, there's a copyist error. The Holy Spirit did not make the error. It was the person that copied the script made the error. Okay? It is not King Jehoiakim here. It's King Zedekiah. That is supposed to be here in verse 1. When they were copying the scriptures, someone that was copying the book of Jeremiah made a mistake by putting the king Jehoiakim instead of Zedekiah. Okay, so it is a copyist error. It is not an error that God made. No, it's a human error, not a spiritual error. And so we see King Zedekiah. the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, and here is the command with a warning in verse 2. Thus saith the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. Imagine what God is asking for. 12 years, the prophet had to wear this yoke around his neck and walk around to show the people that God was going to send Babylon, man, and Babylon was going to come and take them into captivity. Like the prophet Isaiah had to walk around naked for 3 years, man, totally nude in front of the people to show them how God was going to strip them completely from everything and they're going to go into captivity when the Assyrians would come and take them captive. The prophets of God had to do a lot of things that maybe we don't have to do, but it was a real problem to become a prophet of God. And here God is asking, commanding with a warning, I want you to make for yourselves bonds, and I want you to make yokes and put them on your neck. Why? Because it was a sign that God was given to them of servitude to Babylon. You're going to serve Babylon whether you like it or not. I am God. You are the clay. You will not win. God wins. And the people didn't want to hear. They wanted to hear a soft message. Tell us how we're going to be delivered. Tell us how we're going to win the battle. This was the prophet. The false prophets were prophesying lies to the people. We'll get to that in a moment. Hananiah was one of the biggest false prophets of all. And he was prophesying lies to the people. And it's sad because the people believe the false prophets rather than believe in the true prophets of God. And then in verse 3, and send them to the king. The word them there is sending ambassadors, which you'll see in verse 3 here. Send them to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyre, and to the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. What do you mean by this? Well, he wanted to send these men to make an alliance with Babylon so that Babylon would not come and besiege the city. Notice again, God is saying Babylon is going to come and the people still want to get out of the siege. God says, I'm going to do it. I don't care who you send. I'm going to fulfill my word. And then in verse 4, and command them to say this to their masters. Tell them to go back and say this to their kings. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters. And this is the message that God sends through the prophet Jeremiah to these kings, to these ambassadors that came to go back to their kings and tell them this. Look, this is where it's at. I have made the earth and the man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I have given it to whom it seems proper to me. What is the message? The message is that God is sovereign. He's speaking about his sovereignty here. God is saying, I am God. I created all things, and I am the one in control of all things. I don't need you to tell me what to do. You see, God is making the way. But at the same time, God is showing that he is creator of everything in this world. And then he says this in verse 6. Notice here, the exercise of his sovereignty. And now I have given all these lands into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field I have also given to him to serve him. Notice God says, I run Babylon, I run Persia, I run Assyria, I run Judah, I am God. You see, the problem with these people is they thought they were in control. God is in control. And God is showing them that because he is creator of all things, that he will even use Nebuchadnezzar. And he says in verse 6, he says that even Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is my servant. He works for me. I am going to use evil for good. He is my servant. And what's interesting about this is that God used him to destroy Judah, but then God used the Medes and the Persians to destroy Babylon. You see, five empires ruled, the Egyptians, and then the Babylonians, and then the Medes and the Persians, and then we come to the Grecians, and then finally the Romans. five major empires. And every one of these empires was governed by God. God ruled over them. God used them for His purposes, for His glory. God will use evil for good. I'm not concerned really about, you know, who's going to become the next president of the United States, because God is in control. God controls the nations. God controls the governments. You see? And I think that's important that we understand that God is on the throne. No matter how things may get, God is in control. Nothing will happen until God says it. So then you don't have to get gray hair and get ulcers. See? If you know that, you kick back. All right, Lord, you're in control. He does whatever He wants. And then in verse 7, He continues. And so all the nations shall serve Babylon, shall serve who? Nebuchadnezzar, him, and his son Marduk, and his grandson Belshazzar, until the time of his Haslan has come. And then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. What does God say? I'm going to use Babylon. I'm going to use Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to use his son Marduk. And then I'm going to use his great grandson Belshazzar. And after that, in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel, what happened? The Medes and the Persians came and overtook Babylon and who? And wiped out Belshazzar. Just as God has said here. God gives them already history before it happens. Foretold them. This is what's going to happen. Just to show you that I am in charge of history. I'm telling you what's going to happen. And then he says this, verse 8. And it shall come to pass that the nation of the in the kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, if you don't want to submit, that nation I will punish, saith the Lord God. Pretty heavy. If you don't submit, then I will punish you. I will punish that nation, saith the Lord, with the sword and with famine and with pestilence until I have consumed them in notice by his hand. God says, one way or other, you are going to submit. If you don't submit, I will send all these things against you until you realize that it's me. And therefore, because of this, do not listen. Listen to the warning here. Here's a warning to Zedekiah the king. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets. Who are those? The false prophets. Your diviners and your dreamers and your soothsayers and your sorcerers who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Peace, peace, when there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Man, how we need to be careful to make sure that we don't listen to false prophets. You know, people that bring soothsayings to you and they bring, you know, false comfort to your lives. And God was saying, hey, be careful of these people. For they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land. I will drive you out. You will perish. God says, I am going to do it. They're liars. I am going to fulfill it. The result here is they were listening to lies instead of listening to the truth. We need to stop listening to the lies and we need to listen to the truth of God. It already has been written for us in the Bible. We don't have to get shook up. God is at work. And then verse 11. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that is those that submit to the king of Babylon, and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall tilt it and dwell in it. What does God say? He gives safety to those that submit themselves to the king of Babylon. You see? God is so good, man. Even though God is going to judge and we're going to reap our judgment, yet if we submit and we repent, then God will watch over us. He'll take care of you. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, you and your people, by the sword and by famine and by pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against a nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Why are you so stubborn, God says? Why won't you submit? It's like you talk to people sometimes and you tell them about the things they're doing and how they're going to get hurt, but they don't want to listen, and then they get hurt. And they come back and you say, well, I hate to say this, but I told you so. You know, it hurts because they don't listen. And this is what God's saying. Verse 14, the warning again. Therefore, do not listen to the words of the false prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy to you lies to you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy lies by my name, that I may drive you out, that you may perish, you and your prophets who prophesy to you. Now, this brings up another point. Turn for a second to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 9, beginning with verse 8 and verse 9. Now, this is concerning false teachers, false prophets. Somebody asked me the other day, do you really believe, Raul, that these false teachers on TV and radio are really going to be judged? Are they really false teachers? Yes, they are. Okay, I won't name them by name, okay, so I won't hurt anybody here. Verse 9, look at verse 8. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, saith the Lord God. What have they spoken nonsense? Well, they've spoken that you need to prosper, you need to be healthy and wealthy and prosperous. They say that, you know, you're never to be sick. Verse 9. My hand will be against the prophet who envisions futility and who divines lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. What does that mean, Ra? That means they're not going to go to the kingdom of God. Thus saith the Lord. Pretty heavy, huh? A lot of these TV evangelists that you see on TV and radio, they're not going to be there in the kingdom. Because they prophesy lies to you. They prophesy lies to the people of God. They have established themselves as authority, you know, and by fleecing the flock of God, by enriching themselves, and by prophesying lies when God has not spoken. I've watched them now. I see somebody in the audience and they prophesy lies and vanity. And then they bring up people and they have people in the audience set up. And they use these little ear things, you know. And in back of the place, they already have talked to the people as they were coming in. And they know what kind of clothes they're wearing and what their sickness is. And then they'll call them out by name as if the Holy Spirit is doing it. That is blasphemous. That is mocking God. And the power of His Holy Spirit working in people's lives. Because God does heal. And God does a great work through people. But these people are false teachers and false prophets. They will not be in the assembly and they will not be in the record of the book of life. God says it. Now you say, that's pretty heavy. It is pretty heavy. You can quote me too. I don't believe these people will be in the kingdom of God. I believe they're going to perish. Well, you say, wait a minute, you have another text to prove it? Yeah, in the New Testament, the book of Matthew. In chapter 7 of Matthew, he says, many will come on that day and will say, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name, and I did miracles and wonders in your name, and I did all these things in your name. And Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you servants of iniquity. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So I stick to Jesus. Because they're fleecers of the flock of God. They're liars. They lie to people. And they cheat people out of their watches and out of their cars and out of their houses and out of their money. And especially they prey upon the little old widows in their checks by writing computerized letters that are phony letters. They're not even personal letters, but they're lies. That's it. Go back to Jeremiah. I also, verse 16, I also spoke to the priest and to all his people, saying, thus saith the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who prophesy to you, saying, behold, the vessel of the Lord's house will not surely be brought back to Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should the city be laid to waste? Notice, submit. Submit to the king of Babylon. And then here's a challenge to the people by Jeremiah. But if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them know and make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem do not go to Babylon. If they're really prophets, let's see if God's word comes to pass or not. Man, that is so neat. Let's prove it. And I will sit with any one of these guys and prove it that they're wrong and they're false prophets. Because they are. I'll tell it to their face. Because they fleece the flock of God. And it's sad because people buy all their stuff. But God says they're not going to get away with it. I'm so glad for God, man. I'm glad I'm not God. Verse 18. But if they are prophets and if the word of the Lord is with them, then let them make intercession. He says again, verse 19, for thus saith the Lord God of hosts, concerning the pillars, concerning the sea. That is the brass pillar where they used to wash their, the priest would wash himself, the wash basin. And then, of course, the pillars here, speaking of the bronze in the temple, in front of the temple. And the carts, and concerning the remainder of the vessels that remain in the city. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? The first time he came, he took some of the people. The second time he came, he took all of the vessels. The third time he came, he burned down the temple. You see, just as God had said. He did it just exactly how God said, and those false prophets were wrong. Which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, did not take. When he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, why? Because he made three sieges, not one siege, three sieges before he finally destroyed Jerusalem, just as God had said. Yes, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem. They shall be carried to Babylon, and they shall be there until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord God. And then I will bring them up and to restore them to this place. Now, this is the place, Babylon is the place where we never ever saw again the Ark of the Covenant. It was lost. It was totally lost. Some say that God took it back to heaven. One of the Apocrypha books says that Jeremiah hid it in Mount Evil, one of the mounts there in Edom. But we really don't know. But we know that God speaks about the Ark of the Covenant in the presence of God. It's right now in the presence of God. Maybe it's not the same Ark of the Covenant, but we know for a fact that if we had the Ark of the Covenant today, what would people worship? The Ark of the Covenant, not God. So God has his ways of getting rid of idols. You see? God wants the worship, and God wants the praise and the glory and the honor. And then chapter 28, verse 1, he continues on. And then it happened in the same year that the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the fourth year, 593 BC, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Ashur, the prophet, who was from Gibeon, which is about northeast of Jerusalem, he is a false prophet. Listen. Spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, now here's a false prophet, and he's saying, God told me in front of all the people. This is what he told Jeremiah. Thus speak the Lord of hosts. This is what God says. The God of Israel saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years, I will bring back to this place all of the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried it to Babylon. What a liar. Why? Because God said 70 years you're going to be in Babylon. He's saying in 2 years everything will be over. Now you know what happens to false prophets? They die. Watch what happens. I love it. Verse 4. He says, then I will bring it back. Verse 5. The prophet now replies. I love Jeremiah. He speaks to this prophet. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen! I like Jeremiah. He's kind of being sarcastic in a way, but he knows what's coming. Amen! The Lord do so, and the Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, now check this out. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all these people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of all prophets that against my countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. So what is he doing? He's establishing biblically in front of all the people the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. The word of God has to be 100% accurate for him to be a true prophet, right? That's what he's teaching. Verse 10. And then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke of the prophet Jeremiah's neck, you know. And you can just see this picture, you know, in your mind. I mean, we read it, but he gets really excited. And he goes over to Jeremiah and takes this thing off and breaks it. And, you know, he makes a big deal about this whole thing so that, you know, he's right. Watch this. I love it. And Ananias goes over and he takes it off and he breaks it. And he says, thus saith the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Why? Because he knew this guy was history. Because he made a fool of himself. You know, he said, oh, thus saith the Lord. Look, and you know, and he gets in front of TV and he wants to make sure his supporters see him, you know, and that he's going to do something that, you know, is going to wipe them all out. Huh, but too bad he's going to be wiped out. Watch this. I mean, this guy's too much, man. And then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, here's God now. I love God. Jeremiah, yes, Lord, go tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the real Lord. Notice. You have broken the yokes of wood, and you put on a good show, you know, Hananiah. But you have made in their place yokes of iron. Instead of wood, now they have iron. Watch this. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beast of the field also. Can you imagine going back in front of all these people and telling Hananiah, hey, excuse me, but you're wrong, but this is what God really says? I mean, who's going to listen to you? Well, watch this. And then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah, I love it. Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, you phony. Now you think I'm bad? Look at Jeremiah on national TV exposing him. You know? Hey, the Lord hasn't sent you, man. You're a phony. He confronts him. As God said, watch this. The Lord has not sent you, but you have made this people to trust in a lie. That's heavy. When people start telling you lies and to put your trust in lies, woe unto those people that prophesy not in the name of the Lord. When they say, the Lord told me, be careful when you use that term, the Lord told me to tell you. You better make sure it's the Lord. And you better make sure you're 100% right. Because if not, you're a false prophet. Watch this. This is heavy. Verse 16. Because, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. Which means what? In 1 year, you're going to die. Can you imagine that? In 1 year, you're going to die. God told him, you tell him that he's history, man. Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. Wow. He taught rebellion against God. He was teaching contradictory to what Jeremiah was speaking. So Hananiah the prophet died. Who was the real prophet? Jeremiah. This guy's history now. And so Hananiah the prophet died the same year that God spoke on the 7th month. You see, God's word is accurate. And whatever God says, God is going to fulfill. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, to thank you so much as we put our trust in your word 100%, Lord. Father, help us to have discernment from these TV evangelists and these people that teach false doctrines and lies and heresy on radio and TV, Lord. And they publish magazines, Lord. And Father, they drive fancy cars and live in beautiful palaces and they fly around the country in their own jets. Lord, I pray that you would expose them, God. Lord, I pray, I want to be Jeremiah, Lord. Father, send me, I'll go, God. And whoever else here, God, you want to send, Father, help us to be men of truth, men of boldness, Father, men that stick to the word of God, Lord. And Father, at the same time, help us not to become like the false prophets. Help us not to become self-righteous in any way, Father, because we know that we're sinners, Lord, and we fail too, Lord. But Lord, help us from being puffed up and help us from doing fancy things and lying to people and taking their money, Lord. Lord, I pray for the widows. Father, I pray for the old. Father, I pray for everyone that is tuned to radio and TV that you would give them discernment, Lord, to listen to the truth, God, and to reject the lie. And Lord, I pray for all the young people that are here tonight, Father, and those that are not here, God. Lord, I pray that you please touch them, Lord. Lord, make them Jeremiah's, make them Daniel's, make them Joseph's. Lord, make us Peter's, make us Matthew's and Mark's and Luke's, Father, and John's, Lord God. And Lord, just make us more like you, Jesus, every day, Lord.